next item was subdivision 2013-5 Gulfstream Glen Cove LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I make a motion or someone makes a motion on this, I'd like to discuss it a little bit while we have it on the agenda and we have opportunity to get the thoughts of the other commissioners or staff, particularly on the request for the buffer waiver. Coming into my mind, we had a buffer waiver request recently down by the National Guard Armory, and it seemed as though both parties ostensibly made some suggestions, and while we had the final say on that, that seemed to be a logical compromise on that one particular situation. That was on the one side. Going back in time a little bit, I believe back in Mr. Burton's area, the commission granted a waiver from a buffer in an area where Route 1 business and Route 1 go up. It seemed as though it was not going to impact anything. It was a small number of lots, and it seemed like, you know, all was right with the world. And then if that development did not happen or that subdivision didn't come out, and there came back to us a change of plans, and maybe someone's memory's a little sharper on just how that one ended up, but it seemed as though that one, that relaxing of that buffer was detrimental in the minds of the commission. Am I correct in that? Anybody that remembers that application?
How about the one that's up by the children's beach babies?
No, this was up at Milford when you go past Bobby Myers Stables, or the horse stables, where business one splits off.
Right.
And it was just a few lots, but
that was more of a road issue more than a
was that a road
buffer
issue?
Buffer issue,
yeah.
I think. Wasn't that Shane?
Was that the Sharp?
Yep.
Ronnie Sharp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a road more the. The problem I had with that was more of the subdivision road than I did with the buffer.
They went and built the road after the public hearing. And
that's right.
Then came back and tried to do the relot.
That's right, yeah. So that's not a apples-to-apples comparison of the relaxation or granting of the buffer waiver for this. Like you say, if anybody wants to comment, it could be helpful.
In my view, I mean, the buffer is still there. It's whether it's forested or not. That's the question. I mean, it's a 30-foot buffer is the requirement of the code, and it's going to be 30-foot there. The request is to variance the forestry, the vegetative requirement. So you have you got two competing options. You got ag forestry saying we want it forested, and you got the taxpayers people saying we don't want it, and for totally different reasons. And so they're both right in their own little compartments, but they're not compatible with each other. You know, so the question is in that situation, you know, is the waiver of the vegetative requirement, the buffer's still there, 30 foot. And then the recognition, I don't think we'd even be talking about it if it wasn't for central sewer and water. I mean, you wouldn't. On-site systems in 1990 would have prevented something like that from happening, and central sewer opens up central water and sewer opens up the potential for that to happen. So,
well, and I agree with that, and I understand the fact that the central sewer is what makes this possible. It's also what makes it vastly different from the surrounding lots. If the lots were similar to the surrounding lots, I would have less concern about the buffer or the vegetated nature of a buffer. The buffer is there to provide space. It's also there to provide a visual break, and it is incumbent on the developer to provide that. I mean, it's his responsibility to provide that. If the lots were not so dissimilar, it wouldn't bother me too much. But the public has voiced a concern about that. I don't necessarily share the notion that it's going to affect property values. I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell you that just experience is if the houses are 2,000 to 4,000 square feet, the houses that are there are 2,000 to 4,000 square feet. The size of the lot, sometimes a large lot is a detriment. People don't want a big lot. They want a small lot. They don't want any yard to take care of and so on. So I'm not concerned about it dragging down the property values so much as I am concerned about just recognizing the fact that it is different from what their development is, and that's one of the reasons I think the buffer requirement exists. And I think the intent for the buffer is to be forested, because why else would you have it? If it's not going to be a visual break, just to provide some additional distance, I don't know. So I'm not sure what the answer is. But
confused me was when the tax ditch person wasn't here, but they communicated that they said, don't tear up the trees that are there. They're not in our way. So maybe there's a potential compromise. I mean, in my experience in maintaining ditches where you're going to do a dip and haul, you don't need much more than 15 feet.
16 feet is sufficient. I know,
so
because
actually,
I have that in a situation in my own life, so I know,
you know,
I know it works.
Mr. Smith mentioned that, sometimes you try to make compromises. Maybe the compromise is to go ahead and forest, 15 feet of that buffer, maybe even take another 5 or 10 on the other side, but to try to do something in between there, I don't know. I'd like to look at the tape a little more, or listen to the tape and look at the evidence a little more, and noodle over it some.
Well, I think there's sufficient difference of opinion. Counselor, you have a...
Yeah, I was going to say, too, if something to consider would be to have them come back with a revised preliminary showing exactly what the tax ditch folks would agree to, because it seems like there were some statements here about where it could be or what it might be, but we don't know for sure what it would be.
Do we not also have the ability to reduce the buffer but not eliminate it?
I think, you have the ability to grant waivers, so I think, that's pretty wide open.
It's
a board of adjustments.
So
I can get away with
that. But you can't change the tax ditch.
It's in the subdivision.
No, you can't.
No. The 30's got to stay. The real issue I have is that you can't vegetate it, and that's one of the main features of a buffer, is that it provides a visual barrier. Okay.
That's, and our buffer is 20 feet, just to be clear. It's
right.
And the tax ditch is 30. And the buffer has to be exclusive. It's supposed to be around the perimeter of the property, which means the boundaries. And if you were designing stormwater management or open space, you'd have to design it on the interior of, the stormwater management or the open space or whatever. What we have here is the tax ditch that pre-exists everything, the easement that pre-exists everything. So it's sort of, like Marty said, superimposed on top of...
It is.
Or our buffer is actually superimposed on top of...
Here's another possibility. Do we have the ability to allow the buffer to be within the property lines of the lots? That would be a restriction on the individual property owner. They'd never be able to touch those trees, but they're probably not going to anyway.
It's supposed to be exclusive of all lots, and I think the code says that, that gets problematic if you start doing that.
Okay, we're trying to find out what our options are and to be fair to everybody without just...
Well, this becomes an issue because what do you do when you have an application and it's a 200-foot easement?
Well,
couldn't
agree with you more.
They are.
I know they're out 250.
So I don't, 250. My view is that they don't have to be mutually exclusive of each other. In this particular case, we've got a little rub because of the vegetation.
Well, if our buffer is 20 feet, and we all agree you can work in 16, 17 feet, okay?
Good old time.
And so if you just took enough more so that you could have a 20-foot strip of trees in there, maybe that would... I mean, I think there's enough here that we need to defer action on this and think about it, come up with a plan, because I don't want the buffer's there for a reason. We have to figure that out somehow. And I'm not saying it has to be hard and fast another 20 feet. But there has to be, in my mind, 20 feet of vegetation somewhere between these folks and this development. I think, because that's the spirit and intent of the buffer.
We asked for some correspondence from the, in addition to a revised preliminary from the tax district manager to the tax district. You've got to be a manager, right?
Well, it's got to be somebody. And the thing is, I don't think, I mean, if you look at it with the requirement to provide a 20-foot forested buffer, if part of that buffer is in the tax ditch area, I'm not too much bothered by that. You know, that doesn't bother me. So if there's a way they can do that, and you know, they might lose a lot or two. Well, it's the way it goes sometimes, you know. I mean, I get that, and I know, you know, I understand people want to maximize the value of their property. I would too, but the fact is we need to protect the people that are already there too.
I think compromise is certainly in order for consideration given the, you know, the 30-foot buffer, but you know, like you said, maybe a combination of the easement access as well as trees.
I think the reality is if there weren't a 30-foot easement there, the buffer would be right on top of the ditch. It would be wooded, it would be 20 feet. And that would be the end of it. If there's a way to just move that buffer back to allow them to get to the tax ditch, then I think that would be a reasonable compromise. I'm not saying that they have to commit another 20 feet if the tax ditch guy is willing to live with the trees that are there, but somebody's got to study it. It's not anything.
Well, according to the record, they reduced through the court a 40-foot easement down to a 30-foot easement.
Yeah, I know, and their easement is still going to be 30 feet.
Yeah, they've already reduced it by 10. So
right, their easement is still going to be 30 feet.
So if they put in a 20-foot buffer, then it would be, without encroaching into the 30-foot tax easement, then it would be 50.
Well, my question is, though, can the buffers overlap? That's right. What I'm asking.
Well, they can. I mean, why can't they? Because I can't tell you how many tax
districts
we have where there's woods.
I mean,
it's forest land.
I know.
And believe me, there's not 30, 50, 80 feet of maintenance easement. There's enough to get the excavator down the side of that ditch.
Right.
And sometimes not even that.
What I'm saying is if these buffers can overlap, then everybody's interests can be accommodated. And that's my interest is to accommodate everyone's interest if we can.
You know, because, you know, we have, you know, take into account the fact, like you said, that if there wasn't a tax ditch there, the buffer would only be 20 feet. So as a minimum, we know there's got to be a 30-foot buffer, whether it's grassland or trees
right.
or a combination.
Right.
So the buffer that will be there will be greater because of the tax ditch.
Right.
The separation, however you call it.
The separation will be.
I'd like to be able to look at respond to this letter that the department just received today from Mr. Ford, who we know to be a credentialed individual engineer, and he calls into question the accuracy of this preliminary plan reflecting the tax ditch on the lot. So I agree. I think we should defer.
Okay.
Possibly.
Should we leave the record open?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Is there anything you want from the tax ditch commissioner or the applicant confirming whatever it is you want to confirm?
No. Well, if we're going to leave the record open to receive any other information, we're also going to have to leave it open for 15 days to give the public time to come in and review it. I think we should. I think we should do all of the above.
The best way to do that, if you leave the record open for the applicant to provide a response from the tax ditch company or whatever you're going to ask for, then it should be introduced to the commission, and then the 15 days start from that point.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
correct.
Yeah, it will be announced. Yeah.
Announced, and then the public would know that it's available in the next 15 days. They can respond in writing.
Yeah, which means it will show up on an agenda.
Up for more public hearing.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Robinson wants to word it.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, give it
Mr. Chairman, regarding subdivision 2013-5, Gulfstream Glen Cove LLC being the applicant, my motion is for deferral at this time, leaving the record open for response from the appropriate tax ditch authorities and the applicant to the question of the tax ditch easement and buffer requirements and delineation. upon receipt of those, leaving that record open for 15 days.
After that?
After receipt, 15 days after receipt of the applicant and tax ditch.
Actually, I think it's after announcement of the receipt at a public meeting.
After announcement of receipt.
Right. At that point.
That's when the 15 days start.
We'll have 15 days for any interested parties to respond. Or no, it'll be.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Anyone to respond.
Anybody in the public can write a letter and have it.
And be placed on the agenda, in writing or email.
Can write a letter or email, and it will become part of the record for us to consider.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Did you get all that, Lawrence?
Probably not, but the tape's there.
I'll explain it to you in a minute.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2013-5 Gulfstream Glen Cove LLC and to leave the record open in the manner described in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.